Well, Father, we are gathered here tonight in your presence, seeking your wisdom and discernment, asking you, God, to lead, guide, and direct us in the way that you would have us to go. We stand in your presence, Father God, totally naked and undone. And we're asking you, Father God, to remold and remake any part of us that's not perfected yet. We're also asking, Father, that you make us vessels of honor tonight that you can work through. Let us be a witness, Father God, wherever we go, of the kind of God that we serve. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, it's going to teach you on the four ways to tap into the glory of God. You know, God wants to bring his glory in all of its fullness, and he's going to. But he's trying to train his people how to receive that glory and how to carry that glory. And there's a lot in the body of Christ who don't know how to do that. And God really cannot use us as vessels of honor if we don't know how to carry the weightiness of his glory. Yeah, I often look at that scripture there, you know, where it says, rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. How many years has that sign been up here now? 2? 5? Oh, wow. The day we put that up there was the day that the glory of the Lord had risen upon us. How many people understand that? It says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and a deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Are you seeing that, guys? God was telling us, you said 5 years ago, that the glory was on us. But have we been carrying that glory? Have we been breaking up the darkness with that glory? Have we been residing alongside of the Father so that we can be glory carriers? Too many times we just try to make it, and that is not pleasing to God. We aren't trying to make it, we are making it. And we are the head and not the tail. And as the darkness grows darker and the vessels that are lending themselves over to the devil, they become darker. We're going to run into things I'm just hearing God say right now, darkness is running rampant all over the world. And the darkness is achieving things it should not be able to achieve simply because the body is not doing her job. So somewhere along the line, we got off course. And we have to get back on course and carry the glory so that no matter who you come in contact with, that light of God should dispel all darkness. The glory of God isn't just a feeling, an event, or an Old Testament experience. It's a spiritual tsunami of everything contained in the character of God. The word glory is literally translated heavy weight, meaning the heaviest, biggest, grandest thing about someone, and that someone is God. You know, when the glory of God hits you, you can't stand. You staggering around and you're trying to get your footing, but it's sort of hard to do that. How many of you does God touch that way and you have a hard time standing because his weightiness is so heavy that you just don't have the strength to stand under that glory? See, and this is what you should be working towards. Allowing the glory to fall on you in such a way that it'll change you first. And then wherever you take that glory, it'll change the people around about you. And God is saying when you carry that glory, you're truly a witness for him then. Because signs, wonders, and miracles will start occurring. All right, the glory has been called the manifested presence of God, but more than just a presence, it's power. The kind of power that resurrects, delivers, overcomes, and transforms. It is greater and stronger than any other power in existence, and it belongs to you and I. We are the ones that are supposed to be carrying that glory. Maybe you feel like the glory of God is untouchable and unreachable. Maybe you think of the manifestation of the glory of God as something reserved for special church services or an extraordinary circumstance. But did you know that the glory of God is available to you 24/7? It's built in. That's how God designed it, and that's how He designed you. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're in your workplace. I don't care if you're in your car driving down the road. I don't care if you're at home. I don't care if you're in church. I don't care where you are. Let's just leave church out of the picture right now. I don't care where you're at besides in church. The glory of God can touch you, and the glory of God can start ministering to people around about you. If you've never carried the weightiness of the glory, then you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've even had just a small touch of the glory, then you know what I'm talking about, and you're going to start desiring more and more and more of the glory. And I'm here, God, see, church, we're at the end times. This end time dispensation requires that you are a glory carrier. We can no longer just talk about it. We actually have to be carriers of the glory. Because you were born of God, which John 1:13 tells us, that glory is inside you right now. All things that the Father has, including His glory, belong to you. This means His glory isn't too far out of reach. It's right within your grasp. See, the problem is that you're still so bound up with the things of the world that God can't give you that glory, because He told us before, if He gives us that glory when we're in sin, it's going to kill us. And so the reason why you can't be a glory carrier still is because you're still carrying this sin nature within you. And you can fake it as much as you want. But anybody that's walking in the Spirit knows that you're faking it, because they can tell when somebody's really a glory carrier. Are you listening here? And I'm hearing God say this: God forbid that He hits you with some of you with His glory right now, because you wouldn't make it. All right, that's just what I heard, so I just said it. So that's telling me then some of you in here are not ready yet to be glory carriers, that there's still something in your makeup that God has to get out of you. And God told me last night, He said, I'm taking some of my people back to the potter's wheel, to remold and remake. And that could be a good thing, could be a bad thing, you know. It could be a good thing that He's taken you higher than He's ever taken you before, so He has to reshape you and remake you so you can deal with what things you're going to come in contact with. Or it could be that you're messed up and He's going to smash you down again and remake you and not have all that garbage in you. It'd be either way. So, you know, don't get all in a twit here. You know what you are, you're made of, you know what you're doing. And so you know what God's trying to do. All right. So below are four ways you can tap into the glory of God by faith. Look for the glory. And Acts 7:55 says, but He, being full of what? The Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. You have to be full of the Holy Spirit first before you can carry the glory. Everybody's trying to get the glory before they walk in the Spirit, and it's not going to work. And I'm hearing God say, in the days ahead, the glory cloud will cover those who are truly sold out to Him, and He will keep you safe at all cost. So this glory cloud is very important, that we be a glory carrier. That's what's going to keep us, according to what God just said, it's going to keep us safe in the days of, and I'm here to say, in the days of tribulation that are ahead of us. somebody has to be the glory carrier in order to help others who don't know about the Holy Spirit, who do not know what's going on around about them. The glory carriers are the ones that are going to be safe, and you're going to be able to instruct others how to walk through this maze, as God's calling it a maze, that's coming upon this earth. Now, if we aren't expecting to see the glory of God, we probably won't. Just like anything in the kingdom of God, it takes faith to see a manifestation. The glory of God is a visible power. In the Old Testament, the glory appeared as a cloud, smoke, or fire. This visible power is also known as Shekinah glory, which is the Hebrew name given to the presence of God dwelling on the earth. The nation of Israel saw the glory when God came down to meet them on Mount Sinai. In Exodus 24:17, says, "The sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount." The prophet Habakkuk got a glimpse of that fiery glory too. He described it as like the sun blazing in the sky. This is Habakkuk 3:4. His brightness was as the light. He had horns or shafts coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Wouldn't it be awesome if right now we saw the Shekinah glory in its true form right here in the earth? I pray that all the time, God, bring your glory in such power and such might that it'll change and transform everybody that's in the room, even the chairs, right? The glory's in the chair you're sitting on. It's going to just knock you right on out. Well, okay, you say, well, that's stupid. No. What's her name over in England? She, one time, the glory of God came in and settled in her sofa. And people came for weeks and sat on her sofa and were put out in the spirit. They just wanted to sit in the presence of the glory. So don't tell me your furniture cannot be glorified, because it can. Amen. Come on. And what better way than to get somebody saved, say, come on over and have supper tonight, and all your kitchen chairs are glorified. And as they sit there, the Holy Spirit hits them, and they don't get to eat. They just go out in the spirit. Right? I don't know about you, but I want things like this, because I know God can do things like this. I've seen too much and lived through too much to not believe. Just like Brandon Lake says, that I've seen it, and I know it's real, and I know it can happen again. And this is what God is taking us into, is His manifest glory. The same glory that raised Jesus from the dead was manifested as fire by night and a cloud by day in the wilderness in Exodus 13:21. This same glory separated Israel in the land of Goshen from the rest of Egypt, when there was light in the land of Goshen, but not in Egypt. And you can see that in Exodus 10:23. What was that light? It was the glory of God's presence. Oh my, how I desire that God would walk through this room right now with His glory presence and manifest Himself. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living and being like the rest of the world. I want God to come and show up and show off and make us vessels that others will see that there is something different than what we have settled for. Can we see those same physical manifestations of God's glory today? Yes. There are countless testimonies of individuals and groups of believers having seen visible evidence of God's glory. During his preaching days, Brother Kenneth Hagin compiled a list of every scripture in the Bible about the glory. When he would read them aloud in a service, the glory would appear like a cloud or a wave. See this? And people would fall on the floor under that power or rush to the altar to get saved. It is tangible and it is powerful. So start expecting to see the glory of the Lord. Get a list of scriptures about the glory of God right here. We're going to give you some today. if you ever watch Kenneth Hagin's meetings, God always showed up, and miracle after miracle happened. Because he believed in the Holy Spirit. He taught about the Holy Spirit. He believed in the glory of God, and he taught about the glory of God. In fact, I took his courses when I first got saved. This man really, truly walked under powerful anointing of God. All right, pray for the glory. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Okay, how do we pray for the glory of God? First, pray that the glory will be revealed to you and in you. You can see and experience the glory of God, but you must diligently ask and seek for it to be revealed. When we pray the glory into the earth, miracles, signs, and wonders will occur in the church and in our own personal lives. And when Moses saw the glory of God, he asked, saying, "Please show me your glory." Exodus 33:18. When believers gathered together in the spirit of unity, seeking the Lord, the glory appeared in the upper room on the day of Pentecost and sat on the head of each person there. And that's Acts 2:1-4. When the glory of God was in this church all the time, people would come across railroad tracks saying that flames of fire were sitting on the roof of the building. The glory of God was in manifestation inside of this building all the time. Are you understanding this? Then God had to take away the gifts from all the churches because they were trampling on the Holy Spirit, and that upset God. This is what God told me. But now he's in the process of bringing all that back again. And, you know, those who want to walk in religion won't ever see these manifestations of God's goodness. Because he's told us now, at least 5 years ago, too, that religion is out the window and a spirit calls unto spirit. And if you can't live that way, then you're not going to see the things. You might see them afar off, but you won't experience them. Remember, God said that. Each born again, is that right? Where am I at here? Yeah, each born again believer has the ability to manifest God's glory here on earth. But we must believe when we pray, period. And that's why Jesus told Martha that if she would believe, she would see the glory of God. And this is whenever Lazarus was dead. And that's in John 11:40. And I wrote, Martha was about to see a mighty miracle, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And he'd been dead 4 days. And what did God tell Jesus tell her? If she would believe, she would see the glory of God. So the miracles are the glory of God being manifested here on earth. All right, so, you know, God's told me and told us over and over again what he's going to do is he's going to bring his glory with the drug addicts, and he's just going to yank that stuff right up out of them. So when I pray for somebody that's on drugs, I say, God, bring your glory and touch them and pull every drug addiction out of those people. And if you know people on drugs, that's what you should be praying for, is the glory of God to come and settle upon them, and the drugs won't be able to stand the glory, and they'll leave. Finally, pray Ephesians 1:17-18, that you would know the hope of his calling, which is the hope of his glory. That you would know the hope of his calling, which is the hope of his glory. Pray that you will understand the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We need to pray that we understand what the glory is all about. We need to study it to show ourselves approved and study about the glory. And if I was you, as I was studying about the glory, I would be in a position where God could place his glory on me for maybe a day or two. Amen. Just take me on out of here and just go ahead and do what he wants to do with me. Now, when we inherited him, glory was deposited in us. But when we inherited Jesus, glory was deposited in us, but we have to receive revelation of what it means to walk in that glory. Too many people are trying to make this happen. You can desire to walk in the glory, but don't try to make it happen. by God to been telling me for how many years now the glory was coming, 15 at least, I believe. And he's told me right up front, don't grow weary in telling them the glory's coming, because it is going to come. So he knew it was going to be quite a few years down the road. And he said he will bring his, and I've been praying, God, bring the glory. I quit that. But he said, I'm going to bring it when I want to bring it. You can't pray it in. All right. So I know that God's going to bring the glory in here when I don't know. But I can't pray it in because I tried. He's going to do it when he, you know, you could be sitting here right now and all of a sudden, boom, he'd drop in here and just take you. You never know. You could go home tonight. He won't do it when you're driving a car. I know that. But you could go home tonight, sit down on your couch, and 2 days later you say, boy, what happened to me? You know, you don't know when God's going to drop his glory on you. It's an individual thing. But he's also going to come through the churches and hit the full church too. God is bringing his miracles back into the church. And whether you want them or not, they're coming. And when you're ready or not, they're coming. And I'm ready. I'm excited. Because I'm, like I told God, I said, God, I don't know what else to do. I've taught everything you've told me to taught. You've come and you've prophesied to all of our services to us. And I said, I've done everything I know to do. I can't do no more, so it's up to you. You've got to bring your glory. Because glory is what's going to change the people totally and completely, 100%. Because all the preaching hasn't done it. All the prophesying hasn't done it. Nothing has done it, so it has to be God's glory. So why aren't you praying? Okay, you know, all right, my kids won't behave themselves. God, bring your glory. Touch my kids with your glory. Everything I've done isn't working, so God, you've got to come on the scene. And see, this is what God's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to get hungry and thirsty enough where we will start calling on him to come and do the things that need to be done instead of trying to do them ourselves so we can say, look what I did. It's always going to be, look what God did. All right. Signs of the last days. Prepare for the glory. In Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love, what? The love of God. There are degrees of the glory. If you want to experience the fullness of God's glory, you must prepare your spirit. How? By walking in love. The body of Christ who has not perfected their love walk. Have not, you have not, you have not. You still want to control, manipulate. You get upset if people don't do what you want them to do. And you don't, your love walk's not right whenever you do that kind of stuff. It takes faith to receive and operate in the glory. And faith works by what? Love. That's Galatians 5:6. That means the glory of God will increase in you in direct proportion to how you walk in love. Jealousy has no part in the glory. Come on. Envy, strife, and bitterness have no part in the glory. You're going to have to walk in pure, unadulterated love. And sometimes when you do that, people look at you and say, you're just being a doormat. No, I'm walking in the love of God. And with me, God said one day, all right, I never meant for you to be a doormat, so I'm taking over and we're going to change the way you do this. That was in my home. And when he changed it, I did not like what he was doing because that wasn't me. But he had to work through me so he could accomplish the things he had to get done so the doormat experience was over with. Are you understanding this? Don't go out there and say, well, God made me be mean. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. You just wanted that to happen. Tell you what, when God takes you over to do something, you have no control over that. If you're walking in love, and if you said, God, I'm your vessel, use me any way you want to, then God will use you. And really, he doesn't destroy people by doing that. He just tells the truth. All right. I've lost my place. So to increase the amount of the glory in your life, you must walk in love. Put simply, more love, more glory. Remember whenever God was started teaching us on love again, and I even said my love walk had waned. He knew our love wasn't where it should be, and he knew he couldn't bring the glory in and use us because our love walk had waned. And he kept telling us, return back to your first love, work on your love walk. And I don't know about you, but I did that. God showed me places where I had waned in my love walk, and I had to repent. I had to ask people to forgive me. Even when I knew I was right and they were wrong, I still had to ask them to forgive me because I wasn't walking in love the way I should, and I wasn't saying it in love the way I should. Well, you have a right. No, I don't have a right. I only have a right if God's saying it. The spirit of strife and division is always there, lurking and looking for an opening in a way into your life. Never, ever let your love guard down. You hear me? Never let your love guard down. Then you are on your way to being filled with the glory. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then Jesus goes on to say, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Your love walk's not right. Then Luke 13:27 says, but he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Jesus speaking. Some people think they can continue to live the way they're living and still make heaven their home, and that's not true. You're going to be one of those that Matthew 7 is talking about. Your love walk has got to be perfected. How many of you, when you do something you know isn't right, you're not walking in your love walk, you have the guts to go to that person and say, yeah, I'm really, please forgive me. I did not act godly. I was not doing what God has called me to do. Even though you were right, you had no right to say what you said. Right? Walk in the glory. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. See, as God teaches us things, he's cleaning us up, and then we go from glory to glory to glory until we are at the place where he can drop his full glory upon you. Because his glory is so weighty that it would destroy you if he didn't do it that way. All right, so we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You find that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm giving you scriptures about where you can see about the glory, all right? Now, the glory of God looks for a dwelling place. Do you hear that? The glory of the Lord is looking for a dwelling place. He is looking for a person who is totally submitted to him, sold out to him, walking in the love of Jesus. And if you're not doing all those things, then you're not going to receive the glory of God. I don't care. You can argue with me till you're blue in the face, but get in your word, you're not going to receive it. If you really want to find out what you should be doing, like God told me, read about Jesus. Go in the Bible, read all the red is Jesus. Read what he went through. And then God said to me, come back and complain. I never went back because I wasn't going through what Jesus went through. Are you understanding this? I just didn't want to endure what I had to endure. I even told God, I can't do this. He said, yes, you can. You just don't want to. And some of you sitting here tonight do the very same. You can do it. You just don't want to. Because after all, come on. What does God say? Do not vindicate yourself. I will vindicate you. Isn't that what he says? Did Jesus ever try to vindicate himself? Absolutely not. And he could have it at any time, but he did not. And he told me right up front, never try to vindicate yourself. I will vindicate you. I mean, you might look like a fool for years, but all of a sudden one day God's going to let everybody see that you're not a fool. And you're not supposed to sit back there saying, told yourself. We're supposed to be humble, right? We're supposed to be humble. The glory of God looks for a dwelling place. The original house for the glory of God was the tabernacle. But under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit builds a temple in every believer. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God? Some of you don't know that. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. You cannot house the glory in sin. It just is not going to work. I see that. Don't you see that so much in the house of God? People want the glory, but they still want their sin too. You're not going to get it. You're going to be standing on the sidelines one day when the glory fully hits, and it's going to be too late then because you won't be able to remember. God said, if you don't get in the river now, whenever the glory really fully hits, you won't be able to get in the river. You're going to miss out on everything. Is your sin that wonderful that you'll miss out on everything that God's going to do in this end time dispensation? Is your anger so wonderful that it's worth losing out in all the things God wants to do in your life? Bitterness, wrath, you know, whatever it is, no mercy. We are God's house, his temple. The difference is this temple is no longer in a fixed location. This house can walk and talk and preach the gospel. You can move about, right, Daryl? You can move about. So that's where you're at. You're not in a little cart in a box. You are free. You have liberty, and you go with God's glory and go anywhere that God sends you to spread the gospel. It's one thing to have the glory, but it's another to know how to walk in it. The good news, you have everything you need inside you to do so. That's very important to know. It's one thing to have the glory, but it's another to know how to walk in it. And this is what God's trying to teach you, how to walk in his glory, in the fullness of his glory, in the weightiness of his glory. This is what he's saying. You're not ready yet to carry the glory. When the believers experienced the glory of God at Pentecost, they didn't just go back to living normal lives. They emerged from that place as separate from the rest of the world and as light in the midst of darkness. When you have these mass altar calls, the majority of people are not saved. Somebody just spoke words or say this, repeat this after me. They repeated after them and walked out the door the same as when they came in. So what did we say here? They emerge from that place as separate from the rest of the world and as light in the midst of darkness. They went out and started turning the world upside down for Jesus. You have mass altar calls. People come up here and say they got saved. They never go out there witness for Christ. They go out there and do the very same thing they did before they came in, and no souls are being saved. People are going to have to see something different in you in order to want what you have. That's how I became born again. I had a friend, and we went to college together, and she came to pick me up that night because I worked in the college, and she was different. And I said, what's different about you? What happened to you? Before, she was boisterous. She cussed all the time, you know, and she was a mess. But that night, she came in very quietly. She said, Barbara, are you ready? And I said, yeah, let me lock up here. And as we was walking up the steps to go to her classrooms, I said, and she wasn't saying a word, and usually she was loud. And I said, what's wrong with you? And she says, I want you to go with me tomorrow night, and I want you to meet what I met. So I went to Full Gospel Businessmen Association meeting, and I met Jesus. Even though I went to church all my life, I finally met Jesus at the age of 50. I was not a sinner. I was not. But yet I didn't know Jesus talked to me. I didn't know I could talk to him. I didn't know about signs, wonders, and miracles. I didn't know none of that stuff because he didn't teach it in the Baptist church. But that night, she was so different that I had to see what had happened to her. And it happened to me too. I wasn't loud and boisterous, but it still changed my life. Are you that kind of a witness? Do people want what you have? Do they know you before? Now you're different and they want what you have. See, Daryl, your life is going to have to change before you can draw anybody to Jesus. You can't be the same old Daryl. You have to be a new Daryl. Are you understanding this? I can't be a raging maniac either to save people. I have to curb my tongue when I'm dealing with the evil that I'm dealing with. Are you understanding this? Okay, so then they preached the gospel and worked miracles, signs, and wonders. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. That's why you don't have a million house of God. They don't want to come in here and have what we have. They already have a better. I'm going to tell you, my life was better outside the church than it was in the church. There was more sin in the church than I ever encountered in the world. Lust and perversion everywhere. I had never seen the likes. And God said to me, I said, God, what is going on in these churches? He said, I didn't promise you a rose garden. I sent you in there to be a difference to the church. Are you understanding this? Okay, so they preached the gospel and worked miracles, signs, and wonders, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You find that in Acts 2:47. That's the glory we need to be operating in right now. The early Christians were no different than Christians today. But here's the key. Those first believers received the same spirit you did when you got saved and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Christians today are carriers of God's glory just as surely as they were. We're no different. We just wear different clothes, talk different, walk different. Same. We're still flesh and blood. And God wants us to be glory carriers. When you walk in the glory of God, you have a fire in you that the devil cannot withstand. And how many times has God in our service said, I'm going to put more fire in you? See, you're going to have that fire in order to be able to carry the glory also. Everything God's been doing to us for quite some time now is to prepare us for this important event of the dropping of the glory, of the Shekinah glory. And if you didn't get fixed, didn't get prepared for it, then that's your fault, because God came through here many times with the same messages, more or less, getting us ready to be glory carriers, trying to get all the old junk out of us. Did you let him take the junk or did you keep the junk? We are told to put on the armor of God, which includes the shoes of the glorious gospel of peace, which is in Ephesians 6:15. There is glory in your feet. That's what gives you the power to walk on Satan. That's why the only thing the devil is to the church is a footstool. When I was first born again, God said, daughter, every place that you place your foot becomes holy ground. He was telling me there's glory in your feet. And every place you walk, you can tread on the enemy and stop his evil devices. I'm glad I have a God who talked to me from the first day I was born again. I'm so glad that he worked through me and showed me his glory early on. I'm going to tell you right now, I can't wait for the rapture, but also can't wait for the great harvest that's coming in. And who's going to bring in that great harvest? Each one of you sitting here tonight. If you get your act together, you just can't do it any old willy-nilly way. You have to be full of the Spirit, and you have to be yielded to God, and you have to get rid of all the junk that you have and walk in pure, unadulterated love. Start practicing these four ways to tap into God's glory by looking, praying, preparing, and walking, and watch the glory of God be revealed in you. Don't live without understanding God's glory. Don't live without understanding God's glory and what it means to your life. Start saying by faith right now, the glory is in me. I receive it. I'm walking in it. Now, if I had sin in me, though, the first thing I would say is, God, get this sin out real quick because I don't want to die. You know, and then after I repented and got the sin in me, then I would say, the glory is in me. I receive it. I'm walking in it. Get more God inside minded and start acting like a temple of the Lord of glory today. not tomorrow, but today. What's happened, what's been happening in the churches ever since I've been preaching anyhow, is the pastors don't have enough compassion. They don't have enough love, and it's my way or no way. And I'm sorry, after all these years of preaching, I found out that does not work. People who are in sin, you have to work with them and work with them and work with them and show them compassion and love. Yes, we tell them you can. I preach hard. You know, I preach hard, but still in all, God brings love and he brings compassion and grace. And this is why the people's lives are changed. It's not because I'm hardcore and say, this is the way it is. And if you can't do it that way, you're going to go to hell. We don't say that, because that's not true. And I'm going to tell you, being a pastor, I have found out that I need God's grace every day. Every day. Just like you do. So why should I sit here and condemn you when I myself need God's grace every day? And, you know, if I'm sitting here and God says to me, he says, you know, daughter, you've lost your first love. You need to get back to your first love. And, you know, and I'm going like this, really, God? And then he shows me where I went astray. And don't tell me other pastors don't do that, because they do. You know, that, and if you allow God to lead, guide, and direct you every step of your life, he will lead, guide, and direct you. We have so many people come in here and say, well, God said, no, he didn't. But if you want to believe that, you go ahead and believe it. You can believe anything you want to believe that God said. I want to read something to you, because put the other one up, Nancy. Go down where it says Paul went, paying a price for things of eternal value. That's it. That was it. Now, Paul went through tremendous hardships for the sake of the gospel. The body of Christ does not want any inconvenience. That's why we're going to read this. They don't want any inconvenience. They just want to sail through life and everything be hunky-dory. It doesn't work that way. So this is what Paul says. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Jesus received this once. Paul was beat 3 times. What? How do you say that? 5 times, 39 stripes. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in pearls means dangers of waters, in dangers of robbers, in dangers of my own countrymen, his own church people, in danger by the heathen, in danger in the city, in danger in the wilderness, in danger in the sea, in danger among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's 2 Corinthians 11:24-27. That's when Paul went through, and he was a special chosen vessel of God. He suffered. The body of Christ does not want to suffer, but you're going to suffer if you serve God. You suffered when you served the devil, but you thought that was fun. But he doesn't tell you you're going to spend eternity in hell, constantly tormented. But whenever you think that life is too hard, you need to go back and read 2 Corinthians 11:21-27. No, it's 24-27, and see what Paul went through. And he was a mighty man of God. You know, before he was converted, poor God converted him. He had all the luxuries of the world. But then once God converted him on that road, he had nothing but Jesus. And say, I hear God say, and saving grace. So what is the church's problem? I have down here some who are reading this have paid a price for their faith. Others may live in places where the cost of being a Christian is increasing. In view of the hardships Paul endured for the sake of his loyalty to the gospel, and zeal for the glory of God, he asserted, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15:19. Paul lived from an eternal perspective and saw not just the hard times, But see, all we look at is the hard times. But the things God was doing in the midst of the difficulties he faced. See, everything you face, every difficulty you face, God is doing something in that difficulty. In fact, God has allowed you to get into that place because he's trying to change you. He's trying to rearrange you so you are a vessel, a pure vessel of honor that he can work through. Paul saw an eternal purpose being fulfilled in those who were being touched through his life. See, he saw, what does it say here? He saw in an eternal purpose being fulfilled in those who are being touched through his life, through his life. Are people being touched through your life? You know, if you were a sinner and, you know, you get saved and people are, and you go up there and say, you know, you really need to get saved. You need to get Jesus into your life. You do with love. They said, yeah, well, we'll see. And then they start watching you. They're watching to see, are you really saved? Are you really changed? Or are you just spouting words? And Paul confidently declared the glory of God yet to be seen through many giving thanks to the Lord. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. In other words, whatever's going on in your life, and if you act properly, you know, react properly and have Christ in it, then you're going to show people the glory of God through you. But how are you reacting? And what are you saying and what are you doing? This morning, God showed us, you know, through the book that of what the devil is doing to us. Tonight, God is teaching us about the glory. He's trying to show you, yeah, the devil can do this. But if you walk in sincerity of heart on the path that I've placed your feet upon, then this, my glory, will be your reward. All right. And 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, all the junk he went through, he called it a light affliction, is just for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He was saying whatever he was going through was doing something greater than what he was going through. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that was in 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he did not want to go through what he had to go through. I mean, you'd have to be totally insane to want to be beat like he was beaten and go through all the torment he went through. And he went to his father. They said he prayed great drops of blood. His sweat was blood. He was in such agony. And he said to the father, I really don't want to do this, but not my will, your will be done. In other words, God, I really don't want to go through this, but you want me to, I'll do it. So how many of you, God's asking you to go through something that you really don't want to go through? But God, if that's what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Because Jesus knew that God was with him. And we know that God is with us no matter what he's asking us to do. Are you listening here? You know, God will go to any means to get you to where he needs you to be. He'll put you through anything he has to put you through to get your attention. So, are you yielding or are you being stiff-necked and God has to do something even worse than what he's already put you through? That's totally up to you what you have to go through for God to get you where he wants you to be. Everything that I'm here to testify, everything that happens in your life, good, something good always comes out of it. You don't see it while you're going through it. But you will see it at the end that something, God was working something good in that thing. What kind of God would send me to jail? What kind of God would make me be married to somebody that, you know, was a perverted? You know, God has a reason for that. As I look back over my life, I see everything that God had me go through. People you know, talked about me and did all kinds of things because of things I was doing because God was telling me to. They were always for a purpose, and it always turned out good. Souls were saved. God will do anything to get a soul saved, you know. And if you say, "Here I am, Lord, use me," he'll come and use you to get that soul saved. And you might go through hell with that person before you get saved, but God's using you to do it. And we have more than one assignment in our lives. When we finish one assignment, God gives us another assignment, then another assignment, then another assignment. We'll have assignments until the day we reach heaven. Now, God's asking you, are you in this for the long haul? Or are you in this just for what you can get out of it? Because if you're in it for what you get out of it, you're not in it. You're skirting around the outsides of the city. God wants you all the way in, totally, completely, all the way in, totally and completely submitted to him and his will. Are you going to be one of those that's going to be out there saving a million souls? Or are you one of those that's trying to stay in the safety zone? I can guarantee you that each one of you in your night, somebody has come into your life at some point and tried to get you out of the will of the Father. It's telling them that God has said, "I hope you never do that." It really bothers me when somebody say, "God said," when God didn't say it. They're just trying to manipulate and control you. That puts you in a lot of trouble with God. A lot of trouble. When I first met Daryl here, God spoke to him and said some things to him. And the other day I said it, God just told me this. He said, "You told me that when you first met me." See, I don't remember what God says to people. But I'm glad you do. And then really whenever God says it again, it's a confirmation that what I said then is still on for today. It doesn't. If God is really speaking to you, it does not change. And I don't care how deep you are in your sin, God can talk to you and tell you the most wonderful person in the world. And he does that because that's who you are in his eyes. And when he's finished with you, that's who you're going to be. He's not seeing you with your sin nature. He's seeing you as the born-again child of God, get ready to be a vessel of honor that he can work through. Many times I prophesied to people and they would stand before me. God would tell me they were really bad. But God, coming out of my mouth was nothing but praises and words of love and encouragement. They didn't need to hear they were bad. What they needed to hear was the love of God and that they were worth something. So there you go, guys. That's what you're going to have to do if you're going to be a vessel of honor that God can drop his glory into. And tonight, if you want that glory deeper than what you already have it, God's going to give it to you at the altar. But God said, he just doesn't want you to rush to the altar. He wants you to really want more of his glory. He really wants you to want him to come into you and change you from glory to glory to glory. He wants your whole heart tonight. God, I want all of you. I just don't want part of you. I want every bit of you, because I want to be a vessel of honor that you can work through. Your brother Skip was telling us, you know, he has his own illnesses, but he said as he's praying for other people, he's getting better. And this is how God works. Doesn't matter what's going on with you. If you just go ahead and be a vessel that God can work through and minister to other people, then God is taking care of you.